My name's Kev. I'm the minister of the church. Happy Christmas. The word became flesh, we read, and dwelt among us. I'm so glad that you've come today, despite Omicron doing its best to play the Grinch. Great to be singing these precious words together and sharing in the joy. My top local tip, if you want to get into the festive spirit, other than a Euston church carol service, is to visit Lamb Conduit Street. It's just the other side of Russell Square. Charles Dickens lived in the area, so it oozes Victorian Christmassiness all year round. Last Saturday, we took our kids to the Lamb Conduit's Christmas extravaganza. It was great. There were carol singers, storytellers. Not all the stories were entirely suitable for children, to be honest, but anyway, it was very nice. Some of these guys put in an appearance. It's a reindeer, by the way. Sorry, my photo is quite antler-focused, isn't it? Love the antlers. Imagine walking around central London with a pair of those growing out of your head. Amazing. Anyway, the shops as well, they were covered in these Christmas displays. And we paused on this one for a bit. I think I quite liked The Tale of Two Christmases side by side. So on the right is the bustling scene we all know, the shops, skating, Santa. And on the left, well, to be fair, they've made a decent amount of space in their window for the nativity scene. I wonder how much space do you make for it? How much head space? How much space in your life for the Christmas baby? The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You know, at every point that sentence is radical and challenging to us. And at every point it speaks of a God whose posture is to reach outwards towards you. The word is someone's name here. Sounds like it must be his superhero name. So the Flash, the Hulk, meet the word. Sentence one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John's Christmas reading doesn't begin in a stable. It begins at the beginning. Do you ever ponder what caused the cosmos? I must admit my brain doesn't naturally wander in that direction, but there must have been a first cause to the Big Bang or the primordial soup or whatever you think happened. Sentence three. All things were made through him. Earth. Where's my earth, Ed? You got it? Thank you. Earth apparently weighs 6 sextillion tons. That's 6 with 21 zeros. And we're one of 21 sextillion planets in the known universe. What if all of it didn't just come out of nothing? Hard to believe, really, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't believe me if I told you this piece of plastic didn't have a maker. Well, what if there's a God at the heart of the universe who made all things, made beauty and love and made you? Think about it. Maybe spend some time thinking about it on Christmas Day, just after you feel like you've eaten 6 sextillion tons of food. Think about it. All things were made by him is a radical and challenging thought in our secular age where we don't want a God on our case making demands. If you came with a friend today, you know, I'd love you to ask them why they think having a maker is a more dignified reality than just, I'm a random bag of chemicals, but at least I have an independent life. That the word God even exists is the shock to our culture. That the word became flesh is the scandal for the religious back then. See, there are more sanitized ways John could have expressed that God became a human. Flesh is vulgar. The desires of the flesh. Flesh speaks of nappy explosions and nose hair. Blasphemy. The sheer humiliation of the word made flesh. Maybe he only appeared to be embodied, as if the divine dressed up in a human onesie, easily unzippable from. No, the word God really became flesh, with all the vulnerabilities that that meant embracing. See, there's something I didn't tell you about this shop window here. It's actually a funeral parlor. If you see the next slide. Cremations, embalming, funeral directors. First, that seemed a little bit weird to me. So grieving families have to pass that on their way inside to talk about their recently dead loved ones. But hey, happy Christmas. And then I thought, actually, maybe that is the most appropriate thing you could do, to frame the God baby's arrival with the darkness and death of the realm he was entering. The word become flesh means the word become killable. Blows your mind, really, doesn't it, to think what was happening in the universe as not just a baby was born. A God-man, really? John, who wrote the Gospel, says, well, we saw him with our own eyes. It was glorious. You read on. This is him teasing us to do that. See what it looks like when God in the flesh mingles among the crowds. This is a copy of John's Gospel I've got here. If it feels like a bit of a thought for you to open that up on your own, why not do it with a friend or a few friends? Do it as a book group. We've got a format you can pick up at the back called The Word One-to-One. It sets it out in a really easily accessible way. I hope you'd want to read on, because the word made flesh says, never again do we have to wonder if anyone out there cares. Christians in the room, I hope it has made a tangible difference during this wretched pandemic, and there'll be other ways that this year has brought you pain and disappointment. I hope it has made a tangible difference to know that we have not been abandoned. Is that particularly hard to feel in a COVID world? Well, God has jumped into our mess personally and for a purpose. See, the word made flesh says our maker hasn't given up on this physical world that he made, hasn't given up on the thought of us as the pinnacle of his creation. The word made flesh, Jesus, gives us a renewed vision for what humanity can be, should be, will be one day again. Rio de Janeiro is one of the great cities of South America. About a quarter of its population live in the slums called favelas. Santa Visits the Favela is the title of this photograph. Poignant, isn't it? Will he be able to give them what they want this Christmas? Unsurprisingly, those slums are hotbeds of bitterness and resentment. One writer on Latin America tells the story of a poor man from the favelas. One day he climbs laboriously up to the colossal statue of Jesus, which towers above Rio, and the poor man speaks to the statue. I have climbed up to you, Christ, from the filthy confined quarters down there. There are 900,000 of us down there in the slums of that splendid city. And you, Christ, do you remain up here, surrounded by divine glory? Go down into the favelas. Come with me into the favelas. Live with us down there. Don't stay away. Live among us. Great news. The word became flesh and dwelt among us is the last part of our sentence. See how it's all towards you? The word speaks to you, became flesh to be like you, dwelt among us, says God wants to know you. Always nice when someone likes you enough to want to live with you, isn't it? Even after they've seen the state of your bedroom. Well, God wanting to live with us is the story of the Bible from start to finish. But maybe I don't want God living with me, invading my personal space. Well, that's the problem all the way through the Bible. Our preference for an independent life which hasn't gone very well for us as a planet, if we're honest. See, we think we're basically decent, but that is to set the human standards bar way too low. Look at the Word made flesh. Look at Jesus, full of grace and truth, it says. Were you always full of grace during lockdown? Do I always tell the truth? See, the perfection of Jesus' character, as you read on in John, puts me, for one, to shame. He is grace, truth, patience, sacrifice, personified. In contrast, anyone honest might expect God dwelling with us to be like a visit from the landlord, serving an eviction notice for misuse of his property. We deserve to be banished. That is our default destiny. And if you think that sounds more Scrooge than Santa, well, our human failure is precisely why the Word became a human being. And you'd have to read on to see how the life and death of the Word made flesh enables you to live eternally with God in a world renewed. But that is the invitation. And it's not actually an invite to be his flatmate, sentence 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's a great moment in Les Miserables where reformed character John Valjean rescues the abandoned Cosette from the horrible family she'd been sent to live with. At Christmas, he brings her a doll. And on Christmas Day, he takes her to be his daughter. Not a perfect analogy. We've been our own worst enemies. Yet the right to become children of God. You know, I love that. Because sometimes I worry about whether God's on my side. I don't know if that's something you ever worry about. Does he care about my rights? Well, we have no rights or entitlements based on our performance. But he longs to gift us the right to become children of God. Isn't that amazing? It's not automatic. The blessings of Christmas are for those who believe in his name, it says. So if you're trying to do that, keep believing. You are no fool. And if you're not yet believing in Jesus, I want to urge you this Christmas to start. It means to receive him, to have the humility and trust to reach out for help from the one who has reached out to you. In practice, please keep thinking about the Word who caused, made the world. Keep reading on in John to see what it's like when the Word is made flesh. And keep on until you're convinced that dwelling with him would be so good and safe that you find yourself calling out to him to be your Father. Happy Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us.
Christ, born for us, the Word become flesh. Help us to know you, to believe in your name, to receive eternal life. Wonderful Counselor, you order all things with your wisdom. Help your people to reveal your grace and truth to all those who work, study, and live here in central London. Mighty God, the government is on your shoulders. Guide our earthly leaders to govern in humility and justice, and mindful of their accountability to you. Prince of Peace, you bring reconciliation and healing. Give physical aid and the light of the gospel to all who suffer, particularly remembering those in the 6 US states hit by tornadoes this weekend, and those who will be lonely or separated from loved ones this Christmas time. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, King forever, hear our prayer, receive our praises, fill our lives this Christmas. Amen.